Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Proverbs 24:3-4. Bishop Patrick Bruce is a seasoned minister of the gospel, bringing decades of experience in pastoral and administrative leadership. He is a man of great wisdom, humility, and faith. He is the senior pastor of Grace Cathedral, a thriving community church under the Dag Heward Mills Ministries, located in Apramasi in Kumasi, Ghana. Now, let's hear him.
Hallelujah. What a blessing to be here. And I believe that God has good things in store for us. I hope you are expecting to do well in life. I hope you are believing that one day you will have too much money. Do you understand too much money? Not foolish money. Too much money. It means after you have done everything, there's still money in the accounts. It means when you are going to be paid tomorrow, today, your account is not empty. And there are steps that God uses to get us to that place. And this morning, I want us to consider something that I think is very important. I want to change somebody's mind this morning. Because the troubles that we have, it's always in their mind. When somebody has gone mad, it's in their mind. The body is working, the heart, the liver, everything is correct. It's just their mind has just turned slightly. When somebody fails at the exam, it's their mind. It's not their hand or their leg, it's their mind. And when we don't do well, it's their mind. It's not the country. It's not your salary. Because there's somebody who has your salary, but is building. Today is Sunday. Friday, somebody called me that he has moved into his house. And do you know what work he does? He's a blacksmith. Do you know a blacksmith? You don't know blacksmith these days. Not Galamsey. Blacksmith, you see. Not Galamsey. He forges these iron pans. Iron pots, iron pans. He's the one who makes them. Iron pots, iron pans. And this man who does iron pots, iron pans has built his house and has moved into his house. Tell neighbor, I suspect you have a bigger salary. I suspect. I suspect you are better educated. But he's in his house. And I'm not sure you are. So it's not circumstances. Are you listening? It's the way you think. Many years ago, I was at the hospital. And I saw a doctor walking down the street with an orderly behind him holding his bag. And as he was walking down the street, I saw a nurse driving up the street in a Mercedes Benz. And I said, it's not by their job. It's not. Because you would think that the doctor would be in the Mercedes and the nurse is walking. But it's the doctor who is walking. And it's not that he's walking. Oh, he's walking. I know him. He walks. He doesn't have a car. But the nurse has a Mercedes, white. And I said, it's not simply to get a degree and get a profession and say I will do well. There's more to it than that. Hallelujah. And this morning, I want to add a little bit more to what we have been adding all these months so that we will do well. Amen. I really tell him, the man wants you to do well. The man, I mean, he is looking to see you flourish. Amen. I was talking to my wife some few weeks ago, and I said, what is, not happiness, but one must be able to do what you like. Do you understand? Do what you like. When you can do what you like, you are okay. But I see you getting there.
Amen.
Your amen wasn't good. I see you getting there.
Amen.
This morning, I want us to talk about the privilege of the ministry. The privilege of the ministry. Today is just the introduction because I'll continue next week. So today is very short because I need to change your mind. And minds don't change fast. They change slowly. You have to line upon line, precept upon precept. I have to give evidence because you have a reason for how you are thinking. So when I come and say something that is contrary to what you are thinking, there will be a discussion in your head. And the discussion, because I'm not there again to continue giving more points, that discussion in your head, I will lose. But if I take my time and I give you points upon points, that discussion, I will win. And I have to win because your welfare is in my victory. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to share fellowship once again in this house. Lord, bless us. Your children, we are looking for your hand of good and mercy upon us. We are looking for your grace, your mercy, and your favor on us to help us, to cause us to do well. Help us, oh God, to do well today, tomorrow, and forever. Thank you so very much. In Jesus' name, and all the saints said, amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. The privilege of the ministry. Hallelujah. When we say privilege, it means you have the right to do something or to have something that others cannot get. Amen. Can you guys find the word for me, privilege, or somebody find the privilege? You have the right or the opportunity to do something that others cannot do. That's a privilege. You have, when you go to certain places, those who drive, you spend time looking for a parking spot, but you will find an empty spot with somebody's name there. And that person will come at any time at all and sit down there. Amen. That's a privilege. One day I was going for a program in a certain church because a certain man of God was coming. And I knew that that church would be very, very full on that day. So I called ahead and told them that I am coming. And he said, come. So when I got there, in that full house, they had left a chair for me. Oh, yes. You'll be there. They had left a chair for me. So I just came in late, and they said, oh, there was a line. Don't pass there. The ushers were standing there. Nobody can pass here. But when I got there, oh, pass. And I passed to get a seat. It's a privilege. Yeah, because nobody else could. All those others had to go and look for a place to sit. Hallelujah. So this morning, I want to explain to you the privilege of the ministry. Amen. Now, there are two underlying reasons that explain how we think and what a privilege is. Number one, there are two contrasting forces that are at work on us. Two contrasting forces that make us do what we do. One is the push, and two is the pull. So to make somebody go somewhere or do something, there are two ways by which that person will do that thing. One is by a push, and the other is by a pull. Hallelujah. Are you listening? These are actually opposite and contrasting forces. Now, the push is often from behind. So the push is an external force that is pressed upon you to make you do something. Whereas the pull is an internal force that is in. Are you getting the difference? That is inside you that makes you do what you do. Mr. Man, it's okay. I want you to listen to what I'm saying too. So you have taken some few pictures. I'll pause in the service and allow you to take more pictures. When you are ready, just give me a wave. Then I say, okay, picture time. Then we'll take it. Hallelujah. Amen. So there are the two forces, the push and the pull. Now, the push is external. It's outside you. So somebody is now trying to make you do something that maybe you have not planned to do. And the pull is an internal desire that is inside you that makes you want to do something. For example, many children, when they are young, when it comes to education, it's a push. Their parents made them go to school. Their parents chose the school. Their parents even took a cane behind them and beat them on the way to school. Some of you, your going to school was by holding of the ear. Or you not say it? Yeah, one day your mother or your father, no, fathers don't hold ear, they beat. Mother held your ear and dragged you to school because you didn't want to go to school. That was the pushing factor which has brought you up to this point. And what happens is, for those who continue on to do a master's and beyond, there's now a new force, a pull, which is now they want to do their degree. Now they spend time looking for scholarship, going down, downloading everything, because now nobody's pushing them. Actually, you have been left on your own. But there's now a pull inside you that draws you to become something. Hallelujah. And of these two forces, one of them, the push force, is very difficult to maintain. Very difficult to maintain the external push force. Because if by some misfortune your parents are not academically inclined or academically strong, they may easily allow you to become useless. easily. They may not intentionally. I hope you are listening. Not intentionally. They just didn't push hard enough. Cause school. Then you went and then you just turned the corner to go and play chaskele or to go and pluck mangoes. And when you came home and then you don't have homework, they'll say, oh, the teacher didn't try. But they will not pursue to find out where did you go. Whereas other parents will say, I am taking you to the school. I'll drop you at the gate. You enter the yard. And I'm watching you climb the steps to the classroom to make sure you go to school. And when you come out, show me your notes. Show me your homework. Let me see that you actually went to school. That's a different kind of push. Amen. Amen. But it even that one, some children still manage to dodge. Yeah. But the pull factor is the one that draws you. You yourself are drawn out of it. Hallelujah. You are not, you are thinking that this is my invention. Songs of Solomon, chapter 1 and verse 4. The pull factor. Draw me. It's a song. Draw me after you and we'll run together. Draw me. It is not any law. Nobody is like touch. You know, Song of Solomon is not for everybody. It's about, it's a love song. Amen. Amen. You know, look at me. I don't care how you look at me. It's in the Bible. It's a love song. They mention holding head, kissing. Hey! It's a totally love story. Those who like or telenovela and those who like those things, you will like Songs of Solomon. It's nice, but it's a real love story. And he says, draw me after you. So they have touched your heart. And they have made you change. You were once called Miss something. Miss what? Miss something. And then a man came and touched your heart. And then your father, who you have been with him all your life since you were born. Now you are 26 years old. You just say, daddy, bye-bye. And you walk away from him. Not only that, you even change your name. Hey! As if now he's your enemy. You change your name from Mrs. A, from Miss A to Mrs. B. And you are just walking like that. And you are just walking and ask you, what's your name? Oh, I'm Ann B. Hey, I thought you were Ann A. No, no, sorry. Those were the old days. Because somebody has drawn you after him. Amen. That's the pull factor. Hallelujah. Amen. The push factor. Look at somebody who was pushed. Numbers 11. Numbers 11 and verse 11. Somebody who was pushed. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servants? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy eyes? That thou layest the burden of all these people upon me. Hey! Verse 14. What did Moses say? I am not able to bear all these people alone because it's too heavy. This work you have given me is too much. It's too heavy. Hallelujah. I can't do it. So, and God had told him, take the people to the promised land. So this morning, these two forces, the push force and the pull force, they are what make us do what we do. And if it's not, if either of them is not strong, you will end up not doing well, not doing what you are supposed to do, or not doing it well. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Is it clear? So what has this got to do with what we are discussing this morning about the privilege of the ministry? Somebody's phone is trying to do something. There are two minds. There are two. Please. Whose phone is that? Please find the person. And yeah. Anyway, let's continue. My time is half gone already. There are two contrasting, listen carefully, about the privilege of the ministry. There are two different ways of thinking about the ministry. When I say the ministry, I mean the work of God. Hallelujah. When I say the ministry, I mean serving God. There are two opposite. You see, the push and pull, they are opposites. Okay? It means that this morning, there are two opposite ways of thinking about the work of God. And both of these ways actually want you to serve God. Both of these ways are trying to make you into a servant of God, trying to make you somebody who is working for God, both of them. But they are opposites. And by that situation or condition, it means that you may find yourself working for God for one or the other reason. Hallelujah. Amen. I didn't hear a good amen.
Amen.
You may find yourself working for God, doing what you are doing for God, but the reason why you are doing what you are doing for God is one of these two. It's either a push me or a pull me. Now, before I show you the difference, of the two ways, one of them is, in a way, self-motivated, which is you are driven easily by yourself. And the other is an external push where somebody must push you. Somebody must continually be on your case to, like Moses. Somebody must be continually trying to get you to do something. Amen.
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 So this morning, I'm giving you the two opposing forces that make you do the work of God. Number one opposing force is a privilege. It's a privilege. I am blessed and honored to do what I'm doing. I'll explain very soon. I am blessed and honored to do what I'm doing. Amen. And number two force to make you do what you are doing is sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. It is that you are blessed and honored by what I'm doing. Because when you sacrifice, you give up your legal rights. When you are sacrificing something that is yours by right legally, you give it up. And you give it up for a cause that you think is beneficial. So when you are sacrificing, you are doing something that is painful. It's painful, but you are doing it for the benefit of others. So the two, are you listening? So the two opposing minds, I'm coming, just give me a minute. The two opposing minds that are at work in us as we serve the Lord is, number one, it's a privilege. I am honored and blessed to do what I'm doing. And number two is a sacrifice. I have sacrificed my time. I've sacrificed my money. I've sacrificed my peace to come and work for you. So you are blessed at my expense. Amen. Are you with me? Numbers. The privilege. the privilege of the ministry. Numbers chapter 18 and verse 7. Numbers chapter 18 is where God spoke to Aaron and made him the high priest. Aaron was the first high priest, and God spoke to him and said, from today, you and your sons are going to be the priests. That decision had a lot of implications later on. Korah and others came to had a problem. But listen to this verse, just for time, just one verse. Therefore, thou and thy sons with thee shall keep your priest office for everything of the altar and within the veil, and ye shall serve. I have given your priest office unto you as a service of gifts, and the stranger that comes nigh shall be put to death. I mean, if you understand this one, you are an A1 student, because it's not clear at all. It is very convoluted, and it's not the way we speak. So let me give it to you in modern English. Are you here? In the ERV version, easy to read version. And it says, but Aaron, the privilege of the ministry. But Aaron, only you and your sons may serve as priests. Not everybody. Not anybody at all. Only you and your sons. You are the only ones who can go near the altar or behind the curtain into the most holy place. Look at this. I am giving you a gift. How many want a gift? Yeah, I'm giving you a gift. What is the gift? Your service. This is how God sees it all. Your service as a priest is a gift that God gave to you. And to make it even clearer, anyone else who tries to come too close must be what? Killed. When God said that, it's like only you. I am showing you how exclusive, how separated I have made you when I made you a priest. I am showing you what it means to be a priest. A priest is not a bother at all. It's not a problem or an assignment. God says it's a gift. It's a gift I have given to you and only you. So remember that there were 12 tribes. Okay, in fact, 13, because Joseph became two tribes. There were 12 tribes. And then God took out the Levites, who were not priests. The Levites were not priests. They were just servants in the temple. But Aaron was from the tribe of Benjamin. And God said, not even the whole tribe of Benjamin, but you, Aaron, and your sons are the ones I'm making to be their priests. Only you. All the other 11 and a half tribes of Israel, nobody else. That's why this man died, Perez, when the oxen shook the ark, and the ark was falling over, and Perez, in his very zealous, probably an usher, an Ojasha's brother, trying to save the ark from falling down. He says, God no go shame, I no go shame God. How God go fit fall down? How? God go fall down, pa? I mean, the pastor is falling down. Won't you jump and come and catch the pastor? If I'm falling down, hey, you come and save me. Oh, yes, pastor no go fall down. God no go fall down. So Perez saw the ark shaking. He said, God go fall down. How? Then he rushed to go and hold the ark
to support it.
But he forgot the scripture. He forgot the scripture. Anyone else who comes too close must be killed. And when he died there, David was a bit surprised. Hey, what is this? This thing is dangerous. I don't want it again. NLT. NLT. But you, Aaron, and your sons, the priests, must personally handle all the... You know, when you go and buy a new car, do you give the key away easily to people to... Like the mechanic wants to go and test the check the tires, give me the key, or even the car wash car, you don't give the key to them to wash their car. Or you do, to move the car wash. No. I do it personally. Yeah, I do it personally. I do it myself. Yeah, even when you go to your phone, you're going to do something on your phone. Hey, I do it personally. Are you listening? The things that are available to you, you do it personally. And God says, listen, you and your sons, the priests, must personally handle all the priestly rituals associated with the altar and everything behind the inner curtain. Look at this. I am giving you the priesthood as your special privilege of service. Special privilege of service. You see, the choice of words that is very heavy. Any unauthorized person. I just said the person who doesn't have the authority, who comes too near the sanctuary, will be put to death. Hallelujah. Are you listening? You see, this morning I want to start. Today I'm just introducing a subject. I've almost finished. So that next week we'll continue. But for you to have an understanding that the work of God is not a sacrifice. You see, there is my title of the message is what? The privilege of the ministry. Next time I'll preach the sacrifice of the ministry. But not today. Not today. And not this one. Because the point I want to make this morning is that first and foremost, working for God is a great privilege. It's a great privilege. But sometimes we have made it into a sacrifice. That Chale, I'm suffering. My bread. Hey, I have laid down my study time. I have laid down my resting time, my watching film time, my relaxing time. I have laid it down for you, Mr. Pastor Man. And so I am giving up my freedom for you, Mr. Pastor, to receive free labor from me. You are the one who's enjoying my efforts. I am sacrificing and you are enjoying. And so the man is there. And the person is sitting down thinking that I am sacrificing. But I'm here this... Are you listening? I am here this morning to tell you that the ministry is not a sacrifice. There is... Write this down. There is sacrifice in the ministry. There is sacrifice in the ministry. But the ministry is not a sacrifice. It's a privilege. Hallelujah. I thought you'd be clapping for that one. It's a privilege, not a sacrifice. Yeah. You are writing. Okay, right. When you finish writing, you can clap. The ministry is not a sacrifice. There is sacrifice in the ministry. There is a place in the ministry, as you do the ministry work, where you be called to sacrifice. You think that when you're going to born a baby, and the baby is going to be called Kojo or Kwame or Kwabena or... Well, is a happiness. You see, the mother is walking with her baby. My sweet baby, darling. To get that baby. To get that baby involves a sacrifice, but it's not a sacrifice. Ask a mother, is your baby a sacrifice? He says, she's my pleasure. She's my darling girl, my darling handsome baby little one. It's not that. So is that boy walking behind you a sacrifice? Which, no. He's my precious baby. But to get him in the process somewhere, there's a corridor, there's a path where you sacrifice. You don't sacrifice, the baby won't come. No. Don't sacrifice, the baby won't come. But the whole, no. That's why people are paying $5,000-$6,000 to go and do IVF. Do you know IVF? Do you know IVF? You don't know IVF. If you know, you know. You don't know, you don't know. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. IVF, how to get artificial baby when the two of you making baby is not working. They are paying five. I know somebody who paid $6,000 three times. He paid $1,000 three times. He did one in Ghana, went to Austria to do one. They went to London to do one. All the three didn't work. Then he came back home in frustration. Then she got pregnant. Wow. Yeah. Then she got pregnant. After coming back in frustration, 18,000. I said, she'll give it to me. Ah, I'll pray for you for the baby to come. No, but you see, I'm telling you that this baby child, it's not a sacrifice at all. It's a blessing. Amen. So this morning, I'm just showing you that the ministry, working for God, you see, somehow, devil has blown up that sacrifice element to make you think that the whole ministry work is a sacrifice. And that's why people are so reluctant. They are so slow. They are so unwilling to come and do anything for God. Why? It's hard. It's painful. It's difficult. Look at this church. To get an usher in this church. Hey! Usher in this church. It's a fight. I'm fighting. Because they are thinking that when I'm an usher, I'm working for you. But they have not understood that an usher is a privilege to come and stand here and hold the offering basket. You say, oh, no, this basket there, look at my nice dress. I've come to church in my nice skirt. I should come and stand here and be like a zombie, like a standing here and just, what a sacrifice. I should be sitting down with my legs crossed and enjoying the atmosphere and the music and the, nobody else can come up here and take the offering basket. If you like, try. If you like, get up and say, oh, I want to hold the offering basket. You see the anger on the front row. Hey, put it down. Where are you coming from? Offering basket. Oh, I'm just holding it. No, don't hold it. Wait. Who are you? Who called you? Where are you from? Before we now understand, Pastor asked me to help. Okay, you take your time. Hey, but we don't know. You just come from somewhere. No, you just church member. You get up, then you come to the front, take the offering basket, look at it. Then you are going. Hey, you are going where? No. There will be a resistance. Do you understand? So you have not seen it as such that to stand here, Adele, and to hold the offering basket is a privilege. It's a privilege. Not everybody can do it. But you see, we haven't seen it as that. We have seen it as everybody sitting down, relaxing, and now I'm standing. Sitting and standing, who's working? Standing. So you are relaxing. Look at Reverend William, crossed his legs, crossed his arms. Look at Dr. Eno, relaxing, everything. And now I'm standing. It's not fair. I'm struggling. I'm the one standing here alone, and I'm looking funny. No. It's a privilege. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a privilege. It's only you. I mean, one of the privileges is to hold a microphone in the church. You say, oh, this microphone is plenty online here. Anybody can take one. No. Not anybody. I am on a project with Pastor Sean. He has traveled. He's going to Navrongo to go and do some coursework for there. I am on a project with him that one day when you come, you see every microphone, there's a name on it. You see. I mean, not today. I don't know whose name to write. That's why I've not done it yet. I don't know whose name to write. So I'm taking my time to do my elimination by substitution and then remove some people. And then when I'm finished, when you come, say, oh, take a microphone. When you come, I say, John, Peter, Joseph, Kwame, free mic. There's no free mic. There's no free mic. Every mic has an agenda. There's no free mic. As we are here, say, come and sing. My back is hurting me. My voice. Pastor, this morning, I didn't sleep well. I have a migraine. You have a migraine. You can't come and sing for me. No problem. You have not understood that it is an honor and a privilege to stand here and hold a microphone because nobody else can. Nobody else can. But you see it as work. I have to come here. I have to come and rehearse. You know, my house is campus all this way. It's far. You know, I can't come here. You know, it's expensive. You know, when I come at 8:30, I'll be here at 8:30, but I can't come earlier. You don't understand the privilege that has been given to you to come and play a prominent role, a visible role in the church. Don't understand what's happening. Amen. So, I'm finishing this morning. So, I'm here to tell you that, number one, it is not a sacrifice. I mean, yesterday, we were here for a beautiful, beautiful breakfast meeting. Hey, clap for Rose. I mean, honestly, those who didn't come, I cannot find the words that are not insulting. I cannot find the words because it was a very beautiful, beautiful time we had here with our MC who was introducing her husband to come and preach. Yeah. But you see, you can easily think that the members of the committee, you can think that, Charlie, we have work to. No. What an honor that you have been able to put together a gathering where people can come and hear the word of God, and you were responsible. You don't understand. What does heaven think about you? What does heaven? No. You see, you're not thinking deeply. You're not thinking well. You say, Charlie, we ask them. So who paid? Because when I came to sit down, and they gave me chicken and what again? A meat pie, a spring roll, and donuts, and tea. And I was drinking. I was just sitting down drinking. I don't know where it came from. From heaven, manna from heaven. I don't know. So I just sat down and I chewed it, and then I went home. But you see, somebody paid. Somebody paid, and they paid for it. Now, you say that my money has gone inside to make this thing expensive thing. My money, I don't know how much they paid. I didn't ask. My money has gone inside to this thing. And it's like, it has cost me something. True. But what does the master in heaven think? That if my son, if I have a little baby boy who's walking around and he's hungry and I see somebody buy him some popcorn or buy him something, don't you think that person becomes my friend automatically? If I see somebody, my boy has fallen down and he's crying, and somebody comes to pick him up and says, oh, baby, careful. And then, hey, at once, you become somebody valuable in my mind. You are protecting my interests. Doesn't God, how do you think God sees you who has organized a meeting to gather children, people who don't, there were about 15 guests who came or something, who maybe otherwise, some of them were quite grown up. I don't know where they will hear the gospel otherwise. Don't you think that God is happy that you have gathered some people who have not heard the gospel? You see, it's not, it is, you have been allowed to draw near. You know, I'm closing in a few minutes, but it is, some years ago, at one of the branches, we have a chair reserved for the prophets where he sits. And one day there was a program in the church, and I think some cameraman came from somewhere. It was a wedding or something. I think it was a wedding. And a cameraman came from somewhere. And so while they were taking pictures, then the cameraman, a nice comfortable chair, he came and sat down in the chair. Oh, hey! Collegonal ashes. Look, the speed that they ejected him from that chair. No, it was not easy at all for him. And it was, what is this? What's going on here? They said, hey, that chair is our bishop's chair. Get up. And he was trying to argue. He said, get up. And he was surprised. He's a visitor. He doesn't know what is going on. That shows you that being a minister is a great privilege. Hallelujah. It's a great privilege. Amen. Oh, and I'll give you more tomorrow, more next week. Hallelujah. Amen. But number one for tonight, for today, about the privilege, I'm just giving you one point. In fact, I won't explain. I'll give you just one point and one scripture, then we will continue next week. Number one, Hebrews 5 and verse 4. I'm not preaching this one. I'm just giving it to you as to show you that it's a privilege. Number one, Hebrews 5:4. This work of God, it is not self-appointed. It is not self. You cannot take it upon yourself. No man takes this honor unto himself. Nobody can get up and say, I'll take a microphone. No, you can't do that. Nobody can get up and say, I'm coming to take offering. You can't do that. Somebody, to work for God, somebody must call you. Somebody must draw you near before you are allowed. You see, we have, because we are calling a lot of people, we have opened the door for a lot of people to try and be a part of it. You think it's free? You think that, oh, where they are free, anybody at all can come. No, it's not at all like that. Even though Bishop Oti told us about the wedding garments, about the wedding feast and the man who came in. Ah, it's a wedding. We have all come for the wedding. We are all here. Then one man, the security has come to catch him. Why? You're not wearing a wedding gown. But you called me. I was in my wayside highway. Then you brought me to come for a wedding. I've come. Now you are sucking me into outer darkness. Why? Because no man takes this honor unto himself. But he that is called of God. Numbers 16. I'm closing. Numbers 16, verse 9. This is Korah, who was, you see, this story is a long story. But Korah was a Levite. And his friends, Dathan and Abiram, they were Reubenites. They were not of the priesthood. They were Levites and friends of this man. And look at what, and they tried to offer incense. They tried to play like what Saul did. Tried to do the job of the priest. And look at what Moses told them. Seemeth it but a small thing. You are taking it lightly. You are making small, I mean like, oh, it's just nothing. You are a doctor. A doctor, dear baby. If I go on email just now, I can get a doctor. You are despising it. Seemeth it a small thing unto you. that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do service. Do you think it's nothing? Can't you recognize, can't you see what God has done for you? Can't you see that only you, a small section of you, have been called up? Does it mean nothing to you? Does it mean nothing to you that only not all the kids are dancing, only some are dancing because we have opened it up easily? You think it's free for all? No, it's not free for all. Do you think it's nothing? And that's what sometimes we have come up to. People think it's nothing. Oh, it's everybody can do it. No, maybe we have, in our zeal to allow everybody to be a partaker, we have made it seem as if it's free. We have made it seem as if all can do it. No, all can do it. Just last couple of weeks ago, I told them, now, we had a shepherd's meeting. Shepherds meet every Sunday at 4 o'clock, and then we have shepherd's meeting. Formally, anybody can be a shepherd. Anybody at all. Just have some small sense in your head and we'll call you a shepherd. I said, no. Now we are meeting. All those who are serious, do what? Write the exam. Write the exam. And when you write and you pass, then we'll call you a shepherd. And those who have passed are the ones I meet. Those who have not passed are the ones Reverend William meets. And those who pass, that one, who come and join my group. Those who don't pass, what do they do? They stay there. Of course, that's the normal thing of any university, any proper school. You don't pass, you stay where you are. Yeah. You stay where you are. Amen. That's what it is. It's a great privilege. It's a great, great privilege. Amen. One last scripture, 2 Corinthians 2. 2 Corinthians 2. New Living Translation. Verse 12. When I came to the city of Troas to preach the good news of Christ, the Lord opened a door of opportunity. That's what we are doing. Giving you a chance. Giving you a chance. Opening a door of opportunity so that you can come close. That's what it means. Amen. Oh, I said amen. That's what it means. A chance to come close. Hallelujah. Listen, tell somebody, what a privilege to be drawn close, to be allowed to come. What a privilege. It's not a sacrifice to be a chorister, an instrumentalist, to be a usher, lady usher, treasurer, airport star. It's not dancing star. Say, oh, dancing star. No, nobody can do it. No. It's to be allowed to come. No. It's not free like that. It's a privilege. Hallelujah. It's a privilege to be allowed. Look, to call God your father. It's a privilege. If you go and try and go to certain places, you'll be caught at the gate and you won't even enter. But God has made it possible for us to draw close to him. Let us not any longer. That word is a sacrifice. No. It's not a sacrifice. There is sacrifice inside. If you take away that sacrifice inside, your service of God will change. The way you come reluctantly, you are late, you walk in the church. When the church is late, you just come chewing gum. Just come to church and say, hey, I've come some. No. If it was an exam, you'll be here 30 minutes before the time. But because it's just a church service where you're allowed to play a part, you say, oh, Charlie.
It's 10 past 10. I'll be there soon. What are you doing? I'm doing something.
What are you doing?
I'm doing something. I'll come.
The bus is going.
Let the bus go. I'll come.
Because it's not important. It's not important. It's just something that, in fact, what I'm doing is more important than what I'm doing for you. It's more important. It has become a sacrifice. It's not a sacrifice. It's a privilege. Look, the whole thing, Bishop, God bless Bishop Dag, because all he's trying to do is to make it possible. It's to make it possible for others to also play a role somehow. That's all. It's to allow... Once I'm closing. I've been closing for some time now. I'm closing now. I'm closing. One day, I was in the hospital talking to a doctor. And then he said, "You are blessed." He said, "No, I'm lucky. I'm blessed. I've forgotten." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Look, in your church, you are a pharmacist and you are allowed to be a pastor and to preach." He said, "I want to preach also. I want to be a pharmacist. I want to be a minister. But in my church, I must resign my doctor, go to Bible school, do 3 years, finish, do internship before I'm allowed to have a church." He said, "Your church there, when you get up, now you can be a church." I said, "Hey, it's a privilege. Because somebody is dying for it. And it's like he can't get it. He can't be a pastor. And he likes the medicine too. Doesn't want to give up. So he's stuck." I said, "Well, may God help you choose right. But as for me, I'm my pharmacy and I'm my pastor and I'm doing both. May you see what we have as a privilege. May you see drawing close to God as a privilege, not as a problem. Not coming to church, coming to play any role in the church. Ah, I should be, Pastor, thank you that I can stand here and hold the baskets. Thank you that I can." No, from today, I'll tell Pastor Ashong, choristers who don't say thank you, they should be sacked now. Thank you for allowing me to have a microphone with my name on it. Thank you that I can play a saxophone or a guitar. Thank you, because some churches, they don't want drums, they won't allow you. They just lock everything up. But we are allowing everybody to play a role. Put your hands together and stand to your feet. Hallelujah. This one, you want to bow your heads. You want to bow your heads. I want to close your eyes. One of the greatest privileges in this world is the assurance that to live is Christ and to die is gain. It is, death is the last enemy, is the most feared of all the troubles in this world. People will do everything, they'll pay any bill to just escape death. They will go and find a ticket to go to America, go to Germany, go and see a doctor anywhere at all, go and pay any bribe to escape death. Death is the last enemy. It is a great privilege. It's a great blessing to have in your heart that I know for sure that this death, it has no power over me. But that is only possible if you know Jesus as your Lord and Master.
Thank you for listening. If you have been blessed by this message, please share it with someone who might also need to hear it. The Bible says, "The Lord gave the word, and great was the company that published it." To share a testimony or to request prayer, send us a message on WhatsApp to +2 332 059 11275. God bless you.